When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast-forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast-forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk about Hee Hee Streams.
Let's talk about Hee Hee Streams. Can we do that?
Yeah, so I was just going to talk about the fact that it's a much more enjoyable experience now that the Mavericks are, like, good again and they've won a couple games in a row. That's been really nice. But I want you to talk about the sideline camera feed, because you were texting me and you were, like, in awe the other night of this.
Okay, so you did such a good job on the last one. I suggest you also take this and put it at the start of our hot tub broadcast.
Sure.
Because we need to tell everybody about Hee Hee Streams. So Hee Hee Streams is the place where you can watch all the sports commercial-free, every sport, no blackout restrictions, for just $100 a sport, okay? It's the most cost-efficient way that you can watch sports online. But I continue to be amazed by the bells and whistles, and it makes me wonder what possibly MLB could have in store. Because as I was watching my beloved Lakers the other day, and then a couple other games yesterday, John, you know, you get onto the Hee Hee Streams and, you know, you click on the game and it'll say home feed, away feed. There might be a foreign language feed. There'll be a mobile view. So if you're watching on your phone, you click that one, it'll be optimized for a phone. And then on, not on every NBA game, but where they've got it in various arenas, I assume, sideline stream. And it's the most glorious viewing experience I've ever had of the NBA in my lifetime. I mean, this is the literal thing that people talked about for decades, right? You'll feel like you're in the game when you watch on so-and-so, right? They used to say that in the 90s. You'll feel like you're in the game with our new 17-inch TV.
Well, they still say it with, like, virtual reality. Put on this virtual reality thing. It'll be like you're sitting at the game.
But and I was texting you saying, okay, which technology is this? And the one that you said is the one that made the most sense, which is a dolly, you know, a robotic camera which is going to have that, like, robot arm, like the one that they have to build cars in factories. And that's going to be, pardon me, on a long dolly that's 95 feet long or whatever. That's basically the length of the court.
And for anyone who doesn't know what a dolly is, it's just a thing that the camera can roll on. So the camera can go from one end of the court to the other without someone needing to carry it or anything. Someone just presses a button and it remote control just boom over to the other end of the court.
Precisely. And it's moving in relation to the speed of the ball down the court. So if the ball's being fast break down the court, it's moving fast. And if the ball's being walked up the court, it's moving slow. But it can stay exactly with it. It doesn't fall behind. It doesn't lag. And you feel like the ref. I mean, the camera
Do you still get the play-by-play commentary?
Yes, okay. You do. And that's what makes it incredible. Now, the one thing is you don't have the scoreboard. They don't have the score bug.
Because you're not getting the fully produced thing. Got it. Okay.
Right. So you, like, there, for example, yesterday I flipped on the Clippers game because it was on before the Super Bowl. and they had the sideline stream, and I was watching the sideline stream, and then I'm like, okay, I think the Clippers are up five, but I wasn't positive. So at the timeout, I like flipped over real quick to the home feed, and I saw the score, and then I'm like, okay, now I know they're up five. And when they get to the half court, you could see the clock because the clock is on top of the backboard.
Yeah.
Right? So I could keep track of it. And you know, the announcers are good too at saying, you know, cut the lead to this or so-and-so takes the lead. And I loved it, man. It was, to me, the definition of an immersive watching experience because you feel like you're running with these dudes. And it's been my experience in my lifetime that watching basketball is such a different and more visceral and powerful experience when you are courtside, when the size of the individuals and the speed at which they are moving is more directly relative to you, your eyes, your body, you know. And you can see that, and you get that with that sideline stream, man. It's incredible, and it's just, you know, just tossed in on hehestreams.com. So I just can't say enough. They've got some bells and whistles for NHL. My son was asking me today, hey, Dad, check out the other sports. What do they have? What does HeHeStreams offer on these sports that they have on NBA? So I'm just thrilled with the service. I can't say enough about it. It's always streaming at a high quality. It's easy to use. It's awesome. Welcome inside the Padres hot tub. Craig Elston, John Gennaro here with you as the Padres pack up and head out to Peoria. Did you see the Instagram stories today, sir, of Padres arriving? I think I saw Tatis and Jose Castillo showing them pulling up to the Peoria Sports Complex. It has begun, the 2021 Odyssey. The Padres are showing up.
No, I saw everything being packed up at Petco Park like the end of last week, but I didn't see the thing about the players arriving. Tatis is already there. That's a wonderful sign.
Right? He's in it to win it,
that's
baby.
Leadership right there. Showing up before even pitchers and catchers, first guy through the door.
He's going to be waiting to hand out flyers and little meatballs on sticks to everybody as they arrive. Would you care for an hors d'oeuvre, sir? So we've got some stuff to talk about today. Coming into the week, we weren't for sure that we'd be doing a Padres hot tub this week. We are not in regular order at this point, nor shall we be for several weeks to follow. But some big things, one that came to be over the weekend or so, and a couple that actually locked in today that we need to talk about. So where do you want to start? Would you prefer to start with league rules being set or with the Dodgers signing Trevor Bauer?
I want to start with the Dodgers signing Trevor Bauer because, and I'm not going to go find it because I'm lazy, but I'm certain that I called this. And I don't think it was the Darvish Snell time. It may have been, but it was one of these moments where the Padres were adding talent and everyone was like, oh, the Padres are one of the best teams in the league. And I said, everything the Padres are doing is going to scare the Dodgers into giving Trevor Bauer whatever he wants. And now I'm actually starting to think, because as much as I really dislike Trevor Bauer, I respect his ability to negotiate. The wearing a Padres hat, the tweeting from San Diego, oh, good morning, here's my picture from Carlsbad or whatever. I think all of this was a ruse. I think even the reports of like, oh, he had brief conversation with the Padres, I think it was all a ruse to eventually get the Dodgers to go, you know what? All we have to do is sign this guy and everyone's talking about we're the best team in baseball again. Now it's like, oh, is it the Padres? Is it the Dodgers? Oh, it might be the Yankees. And eventually they just went, we're not going into the season going, it's us or the Padres. We're going into the season going, it's us. And the Padres have catching up to do. And the only way that I think they were going to do that was signing Trevor Bauer. And they have infinite resources, so why not? I think it was just Trevor Bauer had to get them to agree to a two-year, $85 million contract, which is one of the craziest things I've ever heard of in my life. But he did. And I think him egging on, like, ooh, the Padres are coming. Watch out, Dodgers. Here come the Padres. I think he was doing that a little bit to scare the Dodgers into just going, fine, write your number on this check and take it and go tell everyone you're a Dodger.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree that I remember you saying something like that. So I will tip my hat to you, my friend, that I think you get at least partial direct prediction correct, you know, mojo. Is that the right thing? You get the mojo.
That may have also been the time when I was like, oh, their starting pitching is suspect, and you laid out for me their starting pitching rotation. I was like, oh, never mind. They have plenty of starters. And then they just, oh, screw it. Let's add Trevor Bauer on top.
Right. So I agree with you that the Dodgers like to play this, apparently, with Friedman's strategic game in the offseason, where, like the Betts move, they kind of wait, leave their powder dry, let the field settle, let everyone think that everything's done, and then they come in and they make the one big move, and everyone's like, whoa, great team just got way better demonstrably, and you know, now we have to tip our cap to the Dodgers. And in 2020, the Dodgers did, in fact, make the perfect move, got the perfect player for their team, the one team that could probably afford to trade for him with 1 year left on his deal, because they knew they would sign him. They signed him to the big year deal, and he led them to the World Series. So by trading for Mookie Betts, the Dodgers made the perfect big move at the perfect time. I think they thought they did that this year, but I don't think they did.
Well, one of the first things I thought about was you saying Trevor Bauer was making whatever team signed him agree to that he starts like every fourth day or something like that. I haven't heard anything about that. I'm going to assume the Dodgers did not agree to that and said, we'll give you any dollar amount possible, but you're pitching once every fifth start.
I'll tell you what, though, at 2 years, $85 million, why wouldn't you try and maximize the innings? He's obviously, his future is not with you. Who cares? Right?
Yeah.
Ride him like a dray horse for 2 years. And then if he's dead at the end, you'll have to pay him $17 million for the third year if his arm, you know, helicopters off the mound. But otherwise, let someone else sign him and have his ligaments snap then. You know, I would use Trevor Bauer as much as physically possible were I the Dodgers front office for the next two seasons. But here's the thing. On several levels, this move confuses me, okay? The Dodgers are a team that, like I said, have been looking to make kind of like the exact right move most seasons. This time...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're taking either Tony Gonsolin or Dustin May, and you're moving their very talented arm out of your plans.
Wait, let me make sure that's correct. So Kershaw, Walker, Bauer, those are the top three in some order.
Right.
Four is who?
Urias.
See, I think it's Gonsolin.
Or David Price.
Oh, let's say it's David Price. And then five is May or Gonsolin, right? With the loose.
Or Urias.
I just because Urias has been so good out of the bullpen, I imagine five is going to be May or Gonsolin. But yeah, five will be one of those three guys. And then I guess the other two just go to the bullpen, which honestly, like, May would be a ridiculous bullpen arm. He's already a ridiculous arm, but a ridiculous bullpen arm as well. It pushes two of those three guys into a bullpen role or a backup role. But how often do we talk about, you know, your starting pitching depth, especially for a, you know, supposed 160 plus game season? You need probably 7 to 8 really great starters if you want to have a great starting pitching rotation all year long.
No, I understand that, and that's fine. And the Dodgers can afford it, right? But, okay, so the first half of the point on in terms of on-field impact that I'm trying to make is this. The difference between Trevor Bauer and most teams' fifth starter that's being replaced out of the rotation and the difference between Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers' fifth starter being replaced, it's a significant difference.
Yes.
Right? So he would be making the Mets, the Angels, the Cubs, the Reds significantly better by taking a bad arm out of the rotation. Even the Padres signing Joe Musgrove, right? Like kicked a Morahone that was a sort of a maybe, right? Into a prove it situation. Paddock, same thing, right? Like, you know, instead of like, well, we're definitely going to have to count on Paddock and we're going to have to count on one of these other kids. Now it's like, well, one or the other.
Yeah.
Someone's going to work out, but it's just one start. So a Bauer, you know, or adding a starter to the Padres improved the Padres more. The Dodgers had the depth. It's not that big of a difference. But part two of that, how 100% positive are the Dodgers about essentially, look, let's be honest about it, the incredible jump in spin rate that Trevor Bauer had after complaining about other pitchers using substances to incredibly increase their spin rate in Houston and saying, I'm going to, you know, if I can't beat him, I'm going to join him. Then in 2020, all of a sudden his rates go up 700-800, you know, revolutions. Are they betting on his being a good cheater, or are they saying that this is 100% replicable? Because at that cost, $40 and $45 million, I mean, yeah, Trevor Bauer had a 179 ERA last year. 2 years before that, he had a 221 ERA in a full season pitching in Cleveland. Both of those are very impressive things. He hasn't done anything remotely close to that any other year of his career. He's always been around 4 or 4.8. You know, 4.0, 4.2, 4.8. Those have been the numbers he's put up in his career. And if he's not going to keep that elite spin, him having a high 3, low 4 ERA for the Dodgers as their third starter, essentially being another David Price, he might be worse than Dustin May or Tony Gonsolin.
I like the things you're saying. Keep talking. You're convincing me this is a see, my initial reaction to this was I really enjoy rooting against Trevor Bauer, so it's really useful for me for him to be on the Dodgers. But
yes,
everything you're saying is stuff that I wish I would have thought of in the moment too, because I thought this definitely makes the Dodgers scarier, and after hearing you say it, I'm like, I don't know, maybe they end up with a $45 million a year mistake.
Well, I would have been fascinated, quite honestly, for Trevor Bauer to take $40 million from the Angels, who he would, I mean, like, he's better than all of their other starters combined.
Easily.
Right?
Easily.
And say, Trevor Bauer, here's $40 million, 45 the next year. Pitch every fourth day. Throw 300 innings this year. Throw 325 innings like Randy Jones did. You know, start 44 games for our team. And if he was like, hell yeah, and he went out there and he did it, and he went 25-7 for the Angels, and he started 44 games and threw 300 innings, like, even the dick that he is, I would be like, kind of like all those athletes we talked about on Banter earlier today, sign up at patreon.com/mtpga to hear our Monday Banter episodes. You know, a guy I root against completely, but I'd be like tipping my cap in respect to, but he's not that. He went for, you know, I heard people say Kevin Durant to the Warriors, you know, he went to be the third option on an all pro pitching staff and get paid maximum money. And I just don't think I think his value to the Dodgers is less than almost any other team. And that's before we get to the whole thing that, you know, is going to happen, that he's going to do something to get LA up in arms. That's the thing that I'm sure. I don't know if he'll pitch well or if he'll get hurt, but he is going to do something that's going to get LA up in arms, guaranteed.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, you grew up in LA, so you can tell me if I'm right or wrong about this, but just living there and being in the media there for a little while, like, you get a feel for each fan base, right? Laker fans love the Lakers, and the Lakers can do no wrong. The Lakers can be the worst team in the league, and Laker fans would still be trying to talk you into, like, here's the one thing they need to do to get to another championship with their current team. Clipper fans are just never taken seriously. Angel fans don't exist. Kings fans are always viewed as, like, the most loyal. Those that, like, they're always going to be out there supporting their team no matter what. Dodger fans love to turn on their team for some reason. Dodger fans love an opportunity to just go, this guy's not a real Dodger. Get him the hell out of here. And they will do it, and then, like, a month later, when the guy is all of a sudden playing better, they're like, oh, he's figured out how to be a real Dodger. Now he can stay. So you're right that it's, like, it's kind of a bad fit for Trevor Bauer, because he's absolutely going to do something to poke that bear. And the fans are not only going to be like, what the hell are we doing with this guy? They're just going to start, well, booing him if they can be in the stadium. Booing him on social media, baiting him into fights and being like, we got to get this guy to hell. He doesn't know what it's like to be a Dodger. I fully expect that to happen, actually, pretty quickly.
I mean, you just know that. And look, like, I've read some of the things that Molly Knight's written since. I mean, like, she's really despairing that the Dodgers have signed Trevor Bauer, you know. And I try to understand exactly, like, looking at it from her perspective, and it would seem like a really awful thing. So I don't want it to be taken the wrong way when I say Molly Knight's going to come to the ballpark or come to the Zoom with a different attitude than somebody who would just be like, oh, thank God you're here, Trevor. Are you throwing your fastball the way that you learned at Driveline? You know, tell me more about your mystical ways. You know, Bill Plaschke is going to come with a different energy, you know, than he would get from the Cincinnati guys.
Yep.
You know, and in fact, he's spent his whole professional career, think about it, in red states. He was in Arizona, and then he was in Ohio, and then he was in Ohio.
Yeah. I thought you were going to comment on how Plaschke's for 50 years been destroying every guy who walks into LA and thinks they're going to be a superstar. And he's like, hey,
100%.
Here I come to show you why you probably don't want to be in LA. Like, that's right. That's his thing. That's what Plaschke does.
Yeah, he's going to come out there to test, okay, Trevor, are you ready?
Right.
You know? And I think that Trevor Bauer is almost a uniquely poor fit for the multimedia landscape of LA. It's kind of he's coming to LA for some of the same reasons as LeBron, right? Money, win a title, be in a place where he can build his brand, right? Trevor Bauer thinks of himself as this brand. He thinks he's out there, you know, he's engaging with the fans in a way that other players aren't. He's not wrong about that in a lot of ways. But he does it in his Trevor Bauer style, which is not, it's not a style that's the same as the style of Los Angeles. And he doesn't have the humility that you need to be in a situation like that. It's going to play in Cincinnati. It's not going to play in LA. And so there's going to be that rift along the way. My point is, I feel that the Dodgers have an extraordinarily narrow window to make this deal make sense. And it's for him to pitch in that elite, 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 elite level. Otherwise, if he just pitches like Dustin May would have pitched while being an asshole, causing all of his teammates to answer questions about him all the time, and being the third starter, I'm thrilled that the Dodgers made this move. I think it could help the Padres.
Yeah, you're starting to talk me into it a little bit. I mean, I still think it makes the Dodgers better, but you're making me less afraid of the impact. And yeah, unless he's pitching good, long, deep starts in the next two World Series, like, the contract doesn't make sense. You don't pay someone $85 million a year. Okay, I'm going to say this. You do not pay someone $85 million a year for 2 years when he's only going to affect 20% of your games. You don't do it because it's right. Stupid. Unless you can guarantee that in those 20% of the games, he's going to be like 90% dominant. And that's even more true in the playoffs than the World Series. If he's not dragging them to the World Series or getting them to the World Series or helping them to the World Series and then pitching deep into very successful World Series starts, it's too much money and it's a bad contract. Now, they may not care. Their resources are infinite. But it's definitely interesting. It's definitely interesting because, again, going back to my original point, I think it shows that the Dodgers are a little afraid of the Padres. And I think that's a good thing.
I agree with that. I think they are afraid of the Padres. Now, I never want to have this subject without, for the sake of fairness, noting that I do hold one and have held one similar concern. And it's just every time we talk about this stuff, I don't want to bring it up every single time. But Mackenzie Gore is supposed to be the best pitching prospect in baseball. And our franchise acts like he is a suspect. They continue to put players in front of him and not clear a path.
Okay, so I'm sorry to interrupt. I read an article, and I don't remember who wrote it, and I don't even remember what the damn article was about. I want to say it was like a Baseball America article or something, and they were talking about why Mackenzie Gore was still, I think, the number two prospect in all of baseball, and still the number one prospect for the Padres, and they were basically saying, like, do not concern yourself with what happened to Mackenzie Gore last year. He's still going to be an absolutely dominant MLB pitcher very, very soon.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And in the article, they said something that I'd never heard before. Granted, I don't read every article or pay attention to every little breakdown that comes out of Petco Park or even Peoria. But they said Gore's pitching motion, which we all know is like Trevor Hoffman-esque, right? Like he almost kicks himself in the face. Yeah. It's very athletic. They said his timing on his pitching motion got off last year when he was at the camp at USD. And because his timing got off with the pitching motion, he couldn't find his control. Now, is that a thing to like potentially concern yourself with? Yes. Any pitcher that has a complicated motion going into throwing a pitch is of concern because those types of things can happen. But they use that to kind of brush away concerns and be like, there's nothing wrong with his arm. There's nothing wrong with his stuff. There's nothing wrong with his body. He simply had to repeat this motion enough times that he got his timing back. And the second he does, he's right back to being like what we thought Mackenzie Gore was a year ago. We're like, he's going to step in and be an ace. It's just a matter of when. So that settled me down. I don't know if that settled you down. And continue. Sorry for the interruption.
Well, no, I mean, that's just it. All I wanted to say was that if someone heard that from a Dodgers side and was like, oh, you're worried that they're not letting Dustin May pitch, what about Mackenzie Gore? You know, my answer to that is, yeah, I'm worried about that, too. I want to see Mackenzie Gore pitch. In our ideal world, and I will speak for you in this circumstance, in our ideal world, Mackenzie Gore will go 4-0 at AAA with a 0.2 ERA in his first four starts. He'll get called up, Chris Pathak will get moved to the bullpen, and the world will become a glorious place.
Yeah, that would be wrapped up nicely with a cute little bow.
Me, 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 but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, powder donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh?
I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus. The Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool. Only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film. Powder donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus. The Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool. Only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right.
Okay, let's get to the baseball stories.
Let's get to the baseball stories.
So MLB and the MLBPA have reached a deal for 2021. They agreed on their COVID protocols, and they also agreed that there would be no DH in the National League, no expanded playoffs this year, that we'll be back to the regular three division winners and two wild cards, and they will have seven-inning doubleheaders when necessary, as they do anticipate, I'm sure, losing series along the way or games along the way to COVID concerns. And they will also have the extra inning runner starts at second base. So let's just right now to start, John, talk about no DH in the National League. I cannot believe a lifetime National League fan how bummed I am that there will not be a DH in the National League this year, because it's going to be there next year. It's going to be there for every year to come. Why for 1 year do we have to devote 600 at-bats as a Padres team to our pitchers hitting? It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. The last time we brought it up, I said if MLB actually goes forward with a season where the NL does not have the DH, they are purposefully hurting their game and their fan base for no actual reason, like not a good reason or a bad reason. They have no reason outside of the fact that they wanted to attach that. The owners wanted to attach that to something else that they could get, and the players didn't feel like negotiating with them because the players were probably sitting there going, what are they going to do? Hurt the game of baseball for a year? But I've already made all of those points in previous podcasts that like hurting the game is not a fun thing, and I wish they wouldn't do it, and this is why baseball is dying a very quick death in the last 10 or 15 years. The point I want to make is this. Consider Jace Tingler as an example. Jace Tingler managed one shortened MLB season and two playoff series. He did all of it with a DH. And let's also just quickly mention that like AJ Preller and probably every other GM in the National League built their rosters planning for there to be a DH because they had to and probably assumed there would. I think you're right that there's no chance that the DH is not back again next season, which means Jace Tingler now needs to either figure out or refigure out how to manage a Major League Baseball team without the DH, with pitchers hitting, which means double switches, all of a sudden having a utility guy off the bench is more useful. Like, he basically has to retrain his brain on how to manage this team and this roster and this batting lineup. And then next year, he has to retrain his brain again. The AL managers don't have to do any of that.
Right.
So it's horribly unfair to the National League teams, to the National League general managers, to the National League managers to tell them, hey, you're going to do things this year that are different from how we did them last year and are probably different than how we do them next year. And the whole time, your counterparts in the American League are just going to enjoy life as usual. Like, that is abhorrently unfair. And my only hope is that someone sees the rationality and they switch this before the actual regular season starts. Because you know what? No one's interested in pitchers hitting and blah, 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 because it's going to hurt offense in the National League, which is going to hurt interest in baseball. And it also makes teams like the Padres a lot less likely to score runs because you could just pitch away from the start of the lineup knowing that you're going to get down and you know, the 8-9 spots are going to be probably easy outs. And it's just a terrible sport to watch that way. We've grown past that as a sport.
It was incredible to see that the instant it was taken away, I didn't miss it one iota. And furthermore, I do believe that the 2021 Padres take a hit losing the DH. And this is the area I'd like to discuss. You know, during the course of team building, this club has acquired Jake Cronenworth, and then Cronenworth has become the incumbent starting second baseman. But what do we know about him? He can play first, he can play short, he can play third, he can play the outfield. And then you sign Ha-Sung Kim. Ha-Sung Kim could have been, and this was, I think, the second place team in the Derby, he could have been the Blue Jays' everyday shortstop. Batting, you know, wherever he batted in the lineup, but he would have played shortstop, his, you know, preferred position, every day in the American League East. He signed with the Padres, where now he officially has no position. He either has to beat out Jake Cronenworth for the second base job, in which case Jake Cronenworth has no position, or they're platooning with one another, and that means that neither one of them is getting full-time work. Or what, is he going to pick up his glove and get a spot start here or there? You know, left field, right field, first base, where is he going to start?
And you haven't yet mentioned Jurickson and Profar.
And I haven't yet mentioned Jurickson
who plays
Profar
the same
precisely.
Position. Like
how, all the same
how is,
positions.
How is Kim going to get a spot start in left field when they need those starts for Profar when Pham's not in because they're paying Profar, what, $6, $8, $10 million a year?
Seven average,
like... They were obviously building a team for, we need nine guys on the field and one DH. And, you know, if we have a couple of utility guys and Profar and Cronenworth, we can rotate people around and give people days at DH. And now you're just like, I guess we're going to be paying a lot of money for Kim or Profar to be on the bench, or Cronenworth is going to be on the bench all the time, and who knows if that's good for him or good for the Padres. It's just
Here's another thing.
It's just as a fan of a NL team who enjoyed like watching baseball last year because it was just more fun because the team was good and the uniforms were better, and also I didn't have to watch pitchers hit. Like, to just have to go back to watching pitchers hit, I don't want to watch Yu Darvish and Blake Snell hit. You have any idea how bad that's going to be?
Right. Yeah, we didn't get these guys to pick up sticks.
No.
You know, it's obnoxious. But furthermore, wait, I had a couple of different ways that I wanted to chop this up. I just lost one of my trains. So one way, of course, that these guys are going to be used all the time. Now,
pinch hitters.
It says pinch hitters.
Ugh.
They're going to become pinch hitters. So we don't know if Ha-Sung Kim is a good or a terrible pinch hitter, right? Profar, as I remember, was good.
He was very good. He was very good as a pinch hitter.
He was good as a pinch hitter. We don't know if Cronenworth is good or bad as a pinch hitter. And it's different when you're not getting regular time, right? So you're always stuck pinch hitting. It also sucks for the pitchers because guess what? Here's yet another excuse to take you out one inning earlier because we've got these guys that are rotting on the bench. We need to get them at bats.
Well, and Tingler's already shown with a few guys to have that quick hook, right? He doesn't care if you're at 70 pitches or 65 pitches. If he feels like you don't have it, he's going to yank you. And now every time you come up in the lineup, he's going to be like, do I think he has it today? I don't know. Maybe this is a good chance to get someone else in there. Like, you're right. It's going to lead to even more quick hooks.
So the last point I want to make is that it's clearly a more optimized offense if you can have Kim and Pham in the lineup, or if you can have Profar and Cronenworth, or Kim and Cronenworth, right? If you can have these, if your combinations can all be out there instead of it's one or the other, it makes you better off. Because you now know as an organization, you know, we've got this collection of this total pool of at-bats for our franchise for the year. And we now know that it'll be, we can now say a shorter amount. With the DH, you would have said up to 700 at-bats, but still, like around 500 to 600 at-bats, right? You're going to give away to people who don't even belong at the plate. And those 500, 600 at-bats would have specifically gone to Jurickson Profar and Ha-Sung Kim.
Also,
two bats that also hit well against lefties.
Yeah, also worth noting that I think it didn't, hasn't Lamet gotten like seriously injured swinging a bat before?
Good to note. Right, yeah. There's all sorts of negative unintended outcomes to pitchers hitting. But the last point I'd like to make on this is it makes it even less excusable to allow 150, 200 plate appearances against left-handed pitching to go to Eric Hosmer, who's not good at it, because now you're going to have Hosmer, who's not good at it, and the pitcher in the lineup against lefties, and you're going to have one of your better right-handed batting options, whether it be Kim or Pham, on the bench.
Or Profar.
For the game. Or Profar on the bench for the game.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing sucks. The whole thing sucks. I continue to hope that sometime in the next month we hear, hey, MLB and the Players Association got together and they decided, after all, designated hitters are cool. Because everything else just feels like they're purposefully poisoning the game of baseball over some sort of pissing match. That was a lot of P's. Good alliteration by me.
That was highly alliterative. So that's the DH. The DH sucks. What about this story that MLB is trying to take a little bit of the juice out of the baseball?
Wait, before
for
we,
this season.
That's interesting. But before we get into that, I want your opinion on the other rules. Like, guy on second base, extra innings, pro, nay.
Okay, I didn't love that, but I'm completely fine with it. I'm also completely fine with seven inning doubleheaders. Both of them are, you know, make the game slightly more efficient. I know if we talked about this before. When I was a kid, the longer the game went, the better. Now, if the game's over 3 hours, even if it's nine innings, I may not finish it. So whatever we can do to finish the game, let's finish.
Yeah, as someone who doesn't particularly like staying up past, you know, 10 o'clock to watch extra inning games that could, in theory, go on for an infinite amount of time, I was a big fan of the guy on second. The seven inning doubleheaders are good for similar reasons, and also because you're saving some bullpen arms and you don't have so many, like, you know, Damian Jackson on the mound throwing pitches. But it is very strange and odd, and I don't think it really sinks into the players' heads until, like, they get to the seventh inning and someone's like, by the way, last inning. And they're like, oh, shit. Like, it just feels very unnatural and weird. I wish there was some way to navigate that. Maybe, you know, give them, like, an extra couple of roster spots the day that they have a doubleheader or something that fixes maybe the bullpen arms issue. Call up a couple guys from AAA if you need to. But, yeah, the seventh inning thing always felt weird to me every time it happened.
The last thing on that is no expanded playoffs. And
woohoo!
That directly impacts the Padres more than almost any other club in baseball, right? But it also impacts the Dodgers the same way. Because I think, while you know how I feel overall about it, last year the Padres were able to get a best 2 out of 3 to start things out. And they needed games 2 and 3 to get to that Dodger series and to have everyone really think the season was as successful as it was, right? It's a completely different thing if they get run out of the playoffs by the Cardinals in the first round. But they, in practice, would have been run off the field by the Cardinals in the first round in this year's playoff format. One game, you're out, boop, see you later. And it is both thrilling and terrifying to me going into this season where I'm more polarized to the Padres than I've been in my life, more excited. We're rooting for the greatest team, greatest franchise to root for in all of baseball, that it really could come down to one lousy game. Somebody's, you know, Blake's elbow's sore and you had to pitch game 162 and someone else got sick and goddammit, Chris Paddock walks out there. You know, and it's one game and it's 4-0 and you're just like, argh. The whole season was meaningless. And so like on one side, the whole season will be so much more meaningful because every single game it's gonna be us relative to the Dodgers and how it goes. And with Bauer being on the Dodgers now, it's gonna be like, God, you just want them to, you know, die by 1,000 paper cuts. It's gonna be so wonderful. But it's so scary to think that it's gonna one game against the Braves, the Cardinals, you know, a team that's gonna be able to bring it. The Phillies, you know, a team that's going to be able to bring it with a great starter and a great offense. And you got one game, dude. One game is nothing.
Agreed. Okay, now let's move on to MLB trying to deaden the ball, which does not sound like baseball.
Here's what MLB should do. MLB should figure out the shit that Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer are using and get rid of that shit. That's what they, if they want to change the dynamics of the game, that would be a good way to do it.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, because if you're not doing anything to affect how dominant the pitchers are, and you're only impacting the home run to fly ball ratio, you're going from a 3 true outcomes baseball game that people are pretty damn bored with to a 2 true outcomes baseball game that everyone will be mortified with. If it's strikeout, or walk, that's not very exciting.
That's fair. I'm already bored by the 3 true outcomes, and it was one of the reasons I very much enjoyed... I've already forgotten his name. Who was the DH the Padres traded for at the deadline?
Mitch Moreland.
That's a big reason why I enjoyed Mitch Moreland, because he just would hit double after double after double. And... usually with guys on base, and he'd knock them in, and that's a much more exciting brand of baseball than just waiting for a home run.
Yeah, it's these unintended consequences baseball never really pursues to their full extent. You know, if we deaden the baseball a little bit, then it won't be all home runs. And then that means everyone is going to choke up, and they're going to start slapping the ball around like David Eckstein. No, that's not what is going to happen. People are going to rip the ball the same way. It's just that it's going to land at the warning track, you know, or 5% fewer times it'll go over the fence. And it just makes the game worse, you know. And to me, you can deaden the ball and lower the mound, or deaden the ball, or keep the ball the way it is, like I said, and get rid of the tack. Get rid of the stuff that lets guys throw sliders with a 2,900, you know, or a BPM or whatever they call it. It's not BPM, that's beats per minute.
Yep.
But revolutions per second or whatever they do, you know. Cut down the spin rate if that's what you need to do. Because we're getting guys with 300-plus strikeouts already, the way things are going.
Yeah, I don't know if that, like... If you get rid of that advantage from the pitchers, isn't it still just three true outcomes? Like the hitters are still swinging for the fences. The pitchers are still going to, I guess, strike them out less often. Yeah, I don't know how you create a world in which there's more balls getting hit into play outside of changing the way the hitters are, you know, the launch angle thing, but you can't really do that.
Well, you either have to, right. If you want to deaden the ball, you have to find a way to decrease the strikeouts. If you're going to deaden the ball without doing anything that affects the strikeout rate, then the strikeout rate is just going to go up because pitchers can challenge hitters even more in a more dynamic fashion because their mistakes aren't being as costly as right. they were before. So it just unbalances the game in a way that the game is already severely, severely unbalanced. I mean, you know, the 300 hitter is practically, you know, a non-existent and useless thing in baseball these days. And, you know, I don't want to sound like Nick Canepa go, ah, that's a damn shame. Arr. You know, but like Tony Gwynn might not even start.
Yeah.
These days, or he would, but it wouldn't be that matter important because rightly front offices would go, this guy can play his whole career like this and he'll only generate 70 WAR. You know, oh well.
Yeah. No, and this year's Padres team, like, one of the fun things about them, like, sure, they had the Slam Diego thing, but when they would get rolling offensively, it would be double, followed by a single, followed by a stolen base, followed by a single that knocks in Tatis, followed by another double, and it just felt like it was kind of hit after hit after hit. And it wasn't the three true outcome team. Like, they had some guys that hit home runs, but it wasn't like their whole offense was really dependent upon it. So it was nice, and I hope the Padres continue to play baseball like that in the upcoming season.
Anything else in your mind, my friend, on this edition of the Padres Hot Tub, or have we gotten wrinkly enough?
I think I'm good. I'm all pruny.
Tired of lying awake, tossing and turning, just hoping for a few hours of sleep? Get the sleep you crave with the one-of-a-kind Tempur-Pedic. Only Tempur-Pedic uses proprietary Tempur material that continuously adapts and responds to your body to relieve pressure, so you get deep, uninterrupted sleep. All night, every night. Now's a perfect time to renew your sleep with the one-of-a-kind comfort of Tempur-Pedic and save up to $500 on adjustable mattress sets. Learn more at Tempur-Pedic.com.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.